In a logo, our view glides across water, then up the skyline of Manhattan. The lights of the city twinkle, then dissolve into a title, Miramax Home Entertainment. Now, in a logo, blue block letters glide through darkness. A light sweeps across the letters. Dimension Films. Another logo. A cartoon boy wears a striped beanie hat. With a sly grin, he plays a guitar as he sits on the letter U. Troublemaker Studios. Now we glide over choppy water toward a shore lined with giant boulders. High atop a cliff, a sprawling hacienda with thick rock walls sits alone. As night falls, light glows from the house's windows. Titles appear. A Robert Rodriguez film, Spy Kids. In the hacienda, an 11-year-old girl wearing a white cotton nightgown gazes wistfully out her bedroom window. A breeze ruffles her shoulder-length brown hair. A trim woman with short auburn hair walks in. Dressed in cotton pants and a loose peasant blouse, she picks up clothes and stuffs them into a laundry basket.
Carmen? Junie? Done for bed. Did you, brush your teeth?
I already did.
The woman, Ingrid, glances into a bathroom.
Junie, don't forget to
come. I am.
All right.
An 8-year-old boy.
Okay, warts. Prepare to meet your maker.
Junie bandages warts on his fingers. Carmen hops into bed.
Everything okay at school?
Yeah, it's good. It's fine.
Okay. Oh, lights out.
Bedtime story first.
What story do you want to hear?
The two spies who fell in love.
Ingrid smiles.
Wow. I haven't told that one in a while.
She sits on Carmen's bed.
You probably remember that better than I do. You want to hear a story, Junie?
I'm listening.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a man and a woman.
And they were both spies.
Yes. She from one country, he from another. She had a very important mission assigned to her.
He was her mission?
Correct. Her mission was to take him out.
On a date?
No, take him.
Carmen pretends to slit her throat.
I shouldn't be telling you this.
Go on.
You have to understand, these were dark and confusing times. I mean, there was an enormous amount of turmoil between countries.
Now an airport.
Out of fear, a new kind of soldier was created. Brilliant, brave soldiers whose greatest weapons were their minds.
Ingrid waits at a gate.
Those men and women were spies.
Chewing bubblegum and wearing a wig, she peeks over sunglasses at a tall, handsome man with slicked dark brown hair and a thin mustache. He strides out of the gate to a chauffeur who holds a sign that reads Hombre. Ingrid throws her gum on the floor. The man, Gregorio, steps on it. It sticks to his shoe.
They were masters of disguise. They could sense danger a mile away. And through their work, wars were ended before they even started.
Ingrid gazes through her computerized sunglasses. The gum leaves a trail of red dots.
And the only things spies were truly afraid of were other spies. Enemy spies. So sometimes one spy's mission was to make the enemy disappear.
She follows him.
He was the assignment that changed her life.
She rides an elevator.
But when the moment finally came to carry out her mission,
Gregorio's waiting for her. He pulls a photo out of her jacket.
She couldn't do it.
It's a photo of him.
He was different than she expected.
He takes a photo out of his leather coat. It's her.
Sure, he was charming and intelligent.
They share a smile. He sends her elevator back down.
But he was unexpectedly honorable. And it made her realize how years of working with detached emotion had taken its toll. So they kept contact. Few lunch dates. Very discreet. After all, they were on different sides, so they could never be seen together. Dinner dates followed wherever their mutual travels took them. And they fell in love. And they decided that together they would embark on the most dangerous mission of all time.
What?
They decided to marry.
Wow.
Oh, yes. On her wedding day, she felt like she would rather brave 1,000 deadly missions than go through with what she was about to attempt.
Why is that?
Well, marriage is a mission so complex that only the most courageous and Slightly insane, Anita Blunt. There's such an amazing series of obstacles one has to navigate to keep marriage together, much less family, that it frightened even her, a hardened and experienced secret agent. But when she saw him standing there with no doubt whatsoever, so assured of his decision, so enamored with what they were about to do, she took his hand, looked deep into his eyes, and said the two most dangerous, most trusting words you can say to anyone.
What?
She said, I do.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, then the problem started.
Helicopters fly over the outdoor wedding.
Now, there was always some faction that wanted at least one of them gone. On their own, each agent was notorious. But together, they made tempting targets.
Wedding guests scatter. In the church courtyard, the best man fastens a backpack onto Gregorio. Bridesmaids help Ingrid strap on hers. As the bride and groom take off running, a helicopter swoops down. Its whirring blades slice the heads off a pair of statues. Holding hands, Ingrid and Gregorio jump off a cliff together. Their parachutes open in the shape of two red hearts. They land on a motorboat where a banner reads, Just Married. As the driver hits the gas, the newlyweds kiss. Now the scene shrinks, disappearing into the eye of a baby. Wearing silly grins, Ingrid and Gregorio lean over the crib.
So, they retired, settled down, had a few kids. In a way, they exchanged one life of adventure for another, trading espionage for parenthood. A mysterious and compelling mission in its own right. And they're better off. The end.
No happily ever after?
Well, I said they were better off.
Great story, Mom, but it needs a new ending.
It needs monsters.
Oh, is that right? You want me to look at your...
I put the medicine on.
Junie hides his hands.
Okay, Munchkin. Good night.
Ingrid walks through an archway to a warmly lit bedroom suite where Gregorio sits at a desk writing. He's clean-shaven and wears glasses.
What was the story tonight?
She kisses his neck.
Ours.
How many nights, I wonder, do you send the children off to bed with nightmares?
Carmen asked for the story.
That life is over now. We are consultants, not spies.
He pushes a button. Shelves slide down, revealing a computer. Across the room, at a vanity, Ingrid taps on jars of makeup. The mirror turns into another computer.
So I went to their school today.
Uh-huh.
Had that meeting with the principal.
What?
Carmen's been skipping school twice a month.
Why?
I don't know. Any of those school friends Junie talks about having?
Yeah, Diego somebody and Ronaldo.
No such beasts. It turns out the other kids, they pick on him. He has no friends.
It doesn't help that he has his head in the clouds, making these weird drawings and burying himself into that demented kid's show.
Ingrid rolls her chair toward him.
They're keeping secrets from us, Gregorio. And I think it's our fault. They've gotten this from us.
We have good reason to keep secrets. If we told them we were spies, they'd have visions of danger every time we leave the house.
Photos of three men appear on Gregorio's computer with the word missing.
Speaking of secrets, what are you working on over here?
Nothing. Important. Just
eyeing him, Ingrid rolls away. Daytime. On a patio, Carmen steps along a high rope bridge. Junie hangs from monkey bars.
Why do we have to do this every morning? We already have PE at school.
Carmen swings hand over hand behind him.
You gonna hang there all day, scaredy cat?
I told you not to look down.
I can't help it. I'm slipping.
It's your butterfingers that are slipping.
Hurry up. I can...
She kicks him. Junie bounces off a trampoline. He falls on the tiled floor. Carmen jumps down.
You just fell 1,000 feet. You're a pancake.
I am not.
R2.
Don't trip getting up, pancake.
He throws a hand weight. He misses.
Butterfingers. We'll see about that.
Now a picture of a balding man with a mustache marked missing slides out of a fax machine. Outside, Gregorio studies the picture. Ingrid snatches it away.
Donegan?
Yeah. He's missing.
Is this what you were hiding from me last night?
I didn't want to worry you.
Now in the back seat of their SUV, Junie watches TV.
Now we turn to Fruits. Quickly.
Junie, why do you watch that show?
Because it's cool. Why?
Because that's all you ever do. Plays video games, and watch the tapes. You know why, son?
Floop has spiky hair.
Whatever you do, believe in yourself. Your dreams will come true. For you, and you, and you.
A drawing.
What's this supposed to be, a self-portrait? What's this supposed to be, a self-portrait? Mommy's mimicking me! Mommy's mimicking me!
Carmen, leave your brother alone. Junie, stop talking like your sister.
Gregorio frowns at Junie's drawing.
Look at this. It's hideous.
Talk to him. It's a Fluke idea. I designed it myself.
On TV, Fluke looks at his monsters.
Because today, we have a new character. We found him snooping around the castle last night. I want you all to meet Donna Fight.
Dad, when Fluke makes a toy out of that one, I want it.
Its cheeks are stretched out like taffy. As he drives, Gregorio stares at the fax, then at the Foogly.
Honey?
He just misses a school crossing guard.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Junie gets out.
Junie. Hey. Anybody gives you a hard time in there, remember, you are a Cortez.
What's so special about being a Cortez?
Lots of things.
A boy smirks.
Hey, it's the mummy. Nice looking bandages, mummy. Just stop, man. When I'm talking to you, you listen.
The boy points at Junie's action figures.
Nice dolls. Here, let me see the dolls.
Have a good day, son. Show them who's boss.
On the sidewalk, the boy's muscly father towers over Gregorio.
Can I help you with something, macho?
Gregorio takes off his glasses. He tucks them into his jacket pocket. The muscle man grabs for him. Gregorio picks him up and throws him through a schoolhouse window. Cheering kids surround Gregorio. Grinning, Junie runs to his father, his tousled brown curls flying. Gregorio scoops him up. The fantasy ends.
I said, can I help you with something, Chief? I didn't think so.
Gregorio slinks away. Junie hangs his head.
My dad was gonna beat up your dad.
In the SUV.
No more secrets. Deal?
Soon. Definitely soon.
I even have to share a room with him because he's so afraid of being alone.
In school.
Watch out for Junie. Take care of Junie. Show Junie right from wrong. I shouldn't be responsible for anybody but me.
You're so right, Carmen. What's so special about being a Cortez?
As his sister walks by, Junie gazes at his Floop action figure.
I wish I could go away to your world, Floop. You'd be my friend.
Now on a tiny island, a castle with twisted spires sits atop a lopsided boulder. Inside a grand domed room, Floop looks out a window as another man paces.
I thank you all for attending today's demonstration. Year after year, we pay outrageous sums of money to several inventors to come up with our technologies. Mr. Floop is one such visionary. However, his inventions are somewhat questionable and therefore need to be evaluated. You promised us an army, Mr. Floop, but our first $1 billion bought us only this.
Fooglies.
Mutated secret agents.
The mutative process and brain wipe caused their minds to turn to mush. I have found little use for them except as novelties on my, well, my children's show. Currently rated number two? Number two.
Just what the devil are these fingerprints?
Oh, they're called thumb-thumbs. Very capable robots.
The creatures have thumbs for heads, arms, and legs.
All thumbs. Useless.
Mr. Lisp, I think you'll enjoy this. Through that door, an awesome power will emerge. You will have but a moment to disarm it. In exactly 10 seconds. 7. 5.
Lisp's partners clear the door.
3.
The man Lisp takes a fighting stance.
1.
The double doors swing open. A 6-year-old boy runs toward Lisp.
Johnny?
The boy leaps over Lisp's head. Lisp gapes. The boy yanks him off his feet. As Lisp lies on the floor, Floop smiles.
You hesitated.
I had to. He's my son.
Are you sure?
The boy's eyes glow.
Actually, I designed him. I built him! His name is...
Floop reads the boy's dog tag.
X52495. A second.
This is your big idea?
Robot kids that look like my children.
A girl takes Lisp's hand.
The president's daughter?
The girl flips him.
An almost exact replica. Sometimes in order to think big, you have to think small. Through physio-electrical imaging, I can make them look like anyone. Yet the cunning and intelligence of the world's greatest espionage agents all rolled into tiny packages I call spy kids.
Tell me, spy kids, with your vast stores of knowledge, what are four of the five physiological indications that a human being is lying?
They're not quite finished. Missing one crucial element.
Missing what?
Their brains.
These buckets of bolts will never pass his children! We have a schedule to keep Floop, a window of opportunity that's closing fast! We will be back in 2 days to pick up our army. Or we'll take whatever you do have, cut our losses, and lay your entire silly empire to waste. One more time.
He snatches a tiny clay face from Floop and squishes it.
Escort Mr. Lisp back to his chopper, children.
Ow!
The robot kids drag Ow! Lisp away.
That was brilliant, sir.
Thank you, Minion. Now all I have to do is make them work for real.
Floop's aide, Minion, follows him out. Now at the hacienda, Gregorio packs.
You're going where?
On assignment. Several OSS agents are missing, including Donovan. No ransom, no demands. They just disappeared.
After 9 years, you are accepting an assignment? Why?
In a word, Devlin.
Devlin himself called.
He called, asked me to go in.
Well, I'm going with you.
Ingrid, you're always looking to go on another mission. But we have children now. We can't both leave.
I want to go on an adventure. I want to save the world.
Again? Honey, it's old. I mean, if it wasn't for Donagon and the other agents, I would be turning this mission down myself. I mean, clearly.
Ingrid gives him a sweet smile.
You're gonna turn me down?
Ain't?
Spy boy.
She whispers in her husband's ear.
Ingrid. What about the children?
Later, the front door opens.
Oh, Felix!
Churros, how are you? Oh, boy, last time I saw you were this big. You're shrinking. What's up? Here, take this bag.
Thanks for coming on short notice, Felix.
That's what families are for, huh? That's what I hear, anyway.
Ingrid pats Felix, a round-faced man with a bushy mustache. Now Gregorio peers into a car mirror. He smooths a pencil-thin mustache over his full lips, then touches his slicked hair. Ingrid appears.
Do I know you?
The passenger door of a silver luxury van opens. Ingrid, wearing a fitted black jacket, tight pants, and boots, gets in.
Like old times.
Later, as they drive along a seacoast highway, Ingrid turns on a built-in computer.
S414 to Santa Cecilia. On assignment to find. Missing OSS operatives. Agents Ingrid and Gregorio Cortez en route.
Well, it's good to hear those names again.
Good evening, Miss Redenko.
Hello, Greg. And Mrs. Cortez.
Updates?
They're being loaded into your central now?
Scan the area.
Sharing a smile, Ingrid and Gregorio hold hands as they drive off a cliff. Underwater, wheels extend out from the van, turning sideways. They spin like engines. Leaving trails of churning bubbles, the van cuts through the water like a submarine. Ingrid sighs.
Why don't we call them? They'll be getting up for school soon. They should know what we're up to.
Ingrid.
You're right. Oh, our first time out in nearly a decade, and all we can do is think about the children.
Ms. Gradenko appears on the computer.
You should see OSS escort agents. Our code Delta Bravo.
Repeat the rendezvous point.
The picture scrambles and Floop appears.
Picking up a TV signal.
And you.
Gregorio and Ingrid Cortez. I believe you have something that I want.
No, I know who that is. That's...
She glances back.
We've got to follow her.
No for long.
What's this?
The van zips sideways between two boulders. A small winged sub follows. An enormous whale-shaped sub looms ahead. Jagged doors open like a yawning mouth.
They got us. They got...
The whale sub swallows the van. At the hacienda, Junie makes a drawing.
And this is what Carmen would look like as a Fugly.
On a couch, Felix presses a button on the TV remote. The words "Red Alert" flash on screen.
Oh my God.
Felix grabs two leather backpacks marked emergency.
Put these on, quickly. We don't have any time to...
He looks around nervously.
Follow me. Follow me, come on. Come on, follow me.
They race through the hacienda.
It's a lot for you to know and very little time to explain.
Uncle Felix!
First of which is...
He rips off his mustache.
I'm not your uncle. Your parents are international spies. Good ones. But they've been mostly inactive for the last 9 years.
What are you talking about?
I was assigned to protect your family, but something's gone wrong. I have to take you to the safe house.
My parents can't be spies. They're not cool enough.
Felix turns a hidden dial. A bookcase swings open like a door.
That's cool.
They scurry into a secret room. Felix holds a gadget.
According to the coordinates on my locating device, they're being taken to Asia.
He turns it.
South America. Go in there. I'll be right back.
And if you're not...
Hit the blue button to seal the door and the green button to go.
Junie opens a closet. It's full of winter jackets and boots.
Is this a joke?
Pressing his mustache back on, Felix hurries from room to room. In the main house, he spots a small chest and opens it, just as a hooded thumb-thumb punches in a window. In the secret room.
Cool. Carmen, look. Carmen.
Junie crawls through the closet into a pod, a two-person ship. Carmen follows. Inside, a monitor shows Felix fighting two thumb-thumbs. He turns to the kids.
You'll have to go to the safe house without me. Go now!
Felix, look out!
Felix whacks a thumb-thumb.
Yeah, yeah!
Find the OSS. Tell them the third brain lives. You must find...
Felix, behind you!
What are those things?
Get them, Felix! Get them!
More thumb-thumbs surround Felix.
Press the blue and green buttons.
We can't leave Felix behind.
Thumb-thumbs break down the secret door.
Well, yes, we can.
Pull the closet brain to go, quick!
Carmen crawls back into the secret room and grabs the locating device.
Here's the green button.
Blue button first! Junie! You never do anything right! Blue, then green!
We gotta seal the door!
I can't find the blue!
Carmen hangs onto the pod as it races through a tunnel. She hits a button.
Hang on!
The door shuts. The pod bursts out of the cliff. Shaped like a fat guppy, the pod skims over the water. Thumb-thumbs follow in motorboats. The pod roof slides open and the kids peek out.
What are those things?
I don't know, but they're catching up!
Four motorboats chase the pod.
Where's the gas panel? No, don't tell anything!
Junie wiggles a lever.
You weirdo, you switched into manual!
Carmen turns the steering wheel hard to the left. The pod just misses a fishing boat. The thumb-thumbs steer around the boat, too.
We have to take us to the safe house!
The pod heads for the boat again. Carmen flips a lever. The pod flies over. The fisherman leaps out as thumb-thumbs crash through his boat.
Junie? Junie?
Carmen looks around.
Junie, what are you doing down there?
Junie holds onto the nose of the pod as it races toward land. Carmen pulls Junie into the pod. He bumps a lever and a message flashes on the control panel.
Autopilot re-engage.
The pod dives. Thumb-thumbs leap into the water and their motorboats head straight for land. Underwater, the pod darts through a hole in a reef along a rocky seabed.
Wow. We are definitely gonna be late for school.
Junie wrings his Band-Aid covered hands.
Stop shaking.
I can't.
Stop shaking or you'll give yourself more warts. We're gonna be fine. Just
be cool and do exactly as I say.
Okay.
Carmen and Junie crouch in the small space as they step toward twin pilot seats. Lights flash all around them. The kids climb in and sit at twin control panels. Junie stomps on a foot pedal.
Welcome to the NIX Super Guppy.
Junie, don't touch anything.
He presses buttons.
Junie!
A shade slides away from a glass windshield.
Destination, safe house. Estimated time for arrival, 2 hours, 30 minutes.
Junie, close your eyes.
Why?
Just keep them shut, all right?
Okay.
Junie keeps his eyes covered as huge sharks swim past. One wiggles its tail fin. The pod leaves the sharks behind.
Okay, you can open your eyes now.
Thanks.
Just don't want you crying all over me.
We're never gonna see him again, are we?
Junie hangs his head. Carmen swallows hard. Later, the pod moves past coral reefs and tiny fish swimming by. Carmen snoozes in her pilot seat while Junie fiddles with buttons on his control panel. Now he helps himself to a snack from a microwave.
Refreshments ready.
Later, he climbs up onto a cushioned bunk.
Would you care for a lullaby, sir?
Still later, he flushes a toilet and shoves it back into a compartment.
Now flushing your poop.
Yeah.
Now in Floop's castle, Ingrid and Gregorio empty their pockets. Gregorio puts Junie's Foogly drawing on the pile.
Very dangerous.
Two thumb-thumbs lead Ingrid and Gregorio to a dungeon, past Foogly's in jail cells.
Characters from Floop's TV show. They're prisoners.
The taffy-faced Dynamite Foogly stares as they walk by. Floop and Minion watch on a monitor.
We need the brain, Minion. We're running out of time.
Don't worry, sir. Ingrid and Gregorio Cortez are the only agents I know of that never had a weakness. But times change. Now they have two.
Now the pod floats at a dock. Carmen and Junie trudge up a steep walkway.
Did you lock it?
The walkway leads to a crude cabin near the top of a rocky island.
That's a safe house?
Looks more like an outhouse.
They walk up to a door with no handle. Carmen pulls on a crosspiece.
Your name?
Carmen Cortez?
Your full name, please.
I don't use my full name. It's too long.
Your full name, please.
Carmen Elizabeth Juanita Ecosca Brava Cortez.
The door swings open.
My name's a passcode.
The kids step inside. They gape as lights turn on, brightening a furnished cave.
This place is amazing.
Carmen opens cupboard set into the rocky walls.
Empty. How safe's a safe house? There's nothing to eat.
Carmen opens the same cupboards again. This time, they're full of food. Junie explores another room. He reads the label on a shiny metal jetpack.
Machete's buddy pack?
He uncovers a row of jetpacks. Carmen sees a drawer.
Emergency cash?
It's full of paper money.
From every country. I think we better take all of that.
Now, Junie sits with a glum frown on his face. Nearby, Carmen places a small flat packet into a microwave-like rehydration chamber. The packet turns into a McDonald's burger with fries.
Check it out.
Carmen waves the food under Junie's nose.
Thank you, Carmen.
Junie stares sadly at a framed photograph of their mom and dad.
We'll see him again, just like they said.
Oh, so this time we're supposed to believe them.
Biting her lip, Carmen turns the photo face down. Now ropes bind Ingrid and Gregorio to chairs.
Let's stop worrying about the children.
They still wear diapers.
Only one is in diapers and only at night. It's not that unusual, okay?
This is why I never wanted to go on another mission.
Are you blaming me for this?
An hour ago, you seemed pretty happy to be back in the game.
An hour ago, I was not a prisoner of war.
Okay, we're a little rusty. That's all. This is one way to find out who's behind all this. Oh, if I could just get the pressure right.
Ingrid twists her diamond engagement ring. It shoots a laser beam at the ropes, cutting right through them.
She's still got it.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Hey, what about me?
Later, Ingrid leads the way as they sneak down a hallway.
Remember when we could sense danger a mile away?
The floor breaks apart. Gregorio leaps back. A deep pit cuts him off from Ingrid.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
He backs up. He runs toward the pit and leaps. It widens. He lands over the pit. It's covered by glass.
Oh.
He knocks on the clear glass floor.
Clever.
He gets to his feet and jumps up and down.
Okay, come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Ingrid and Gregorio continue down the hallway. They spot a sign pointing to a round door.
Virtual room.
It's gone.
They hurry into the room. Inside, they stand near a lake where the sun glows behind distant mountains. Birds fly from treetops.
Where are we?
They head back to the door. The door disappears as a storm brews. Now, Ingrid and Gregorio walk knee-deep in a fiery sky of rolling orange clouds.
Better give him points for imagination.
They fall down a chute. They land on Floop's dinner table. He checks a stopwatch.
15 minutes to escape. With your reputations, I was expecting something a little more impressive. Finally, we can eat!
Now Ingrid sniffs a spoonful of green goop.
So, you are Floop.
You watch my show?
No, my son does.
In another room, Minion speaks into a transmitter.
Wonderful!
Carmen and Junie.
But not your daughter. Carmen, isn't it? And Junie? Your children will be joining us soon. Careful!
Gregorio jumps up.
I snap my fingers.
Thumb-thumbs march in. One slips and falls.
And my fingers snap you.
The thumb-thumbs back off.
Where are the OSS agents you've taken?
12 years ago, they were part of a research team for the OSS, attempting to create a synthetic intelligence, a compendium of spy knowledge, if you will. Research since destroyed.
If the OSS destroyed its research, it was for a reason.
We all have our reasons. There was someone else on that research team. Someone else who could rebuild it. Isn't that right, Mr. Cortez?
Gregorio swallows hard. A monitor wheels in.
Felix.
It shows Felix bound to a chair, wearing a silver helmet. Floop holds a Felix face made of clay. He squishes it into a fish face, then presses a button. On screen, Felix turns into a fish-faced Foogly.
I think he's going to be a bestseller, and just in time for the holiday rush.
Never, ever build anything for you.
Thank you for joining us.
Gregorio drops down a chute. Now at the safe house, the kids put on gear from their backpacks, black quilted jackets and pants, lace-up boots, utility belts, and watches with a tiny satellite dish. Carmen practices a roundhouse kick. Junie tries a kick and falls. At a desk covered with gadgets, Carmen examines a book.
How to be a spy. Author unknown.
As Carmen reads, Junie plays with a watch.
Good spy uses
his head.
Ow! Gosh! You're too close! A good spy uses his head. Got that? It's the first one in the book.
Ew, gross.
What do you see?
You.
Very funny. Focus your eyes closer.
He wears sunglasses.
On the glasses themselves.
Whoa, maps and readouts.
That's the computer screen. It's a database of some kind.
She opens a photo album with pictures of their parents' wedding.
The wedding from the story. It was theirs.
She removes a photo of her father and his best man, a rough-faced man with long hair.
You should have told us about this stuff.
Yeah, what about Diego and Ronaldo and all your make-believe friends? Shouldn't Mom and Dad know about that?
What about all the days you skip school? You want them to know about that?
That's my business.
Junie handcuffs himself to a metal box.
Carmen?
I don't have a key. Go knock it against something.
Good spy has no fear.
Sorry, Junie. Guess you can't be a spy.
He slams the box against a wall so hard that he falls.
Good spy puts himself, herself, in the mindset of the opponent. Mindset. And that's exactly what we'll do. I think it's up to us. You with me.
With you what?
Find the OSS like Felix said.
Okay.
Then let's go.
They gaze at the front door. Carmen walks to the door and opens the porthole. On the other side, Ms. Gradenko smiles brightly.
Hi, I'm Ms. Gradenko. We work for your parents.
We?
Oh, I can understand if you don't trust me. You were a baby when we first met.
She lets herself in.
Remember me now? Sorry. I have a key. You see? We're all on the same side. We're here to protect you.
My mom has a bracelet like that.
OSS standard issue. We all have one.
OSS, you work with my parents?
Yes. Now, please listen closely. Open your ears. Your father was able to send one last communique this morning before he disappeared. It consisted of five letters. F-L-O-O-P.
Junie's eyes widen as he lifts his floop action figure.
But you're wrong. Fabulous Floop would never do that.
Oh, trust me, he's not that fabulous. In fact...
She turns on a computer.
Recognize these?
Floops, Flooplies. I've got toy versions.
This is what they looked like before he mutated them.
Photos appear on screen.
You mean these mutants are captured secret agents?
We're dealing with a genius.
Told you Floop was a freak.
And you know that cute little tuneless song the characters sing? Play it backwards.
Floop is a madman, help us, save us! Floop is a madman, help us, save us!
A cry for help.
Will Floop do that to Mom and Dad?
Definitely. Unless... he gets something your father helped develop. If there's anything you can possibly remember...
Brainwaves.
What?
Felix gave us a message to deliver to the OSS, and, here you are.
Here I am. What's the message?
The third brain lives.
Carmen, you have just joined the ranks of women spies in the OSS. Brilliant.
Girls.
Now.
She gives Carmen her bracelet.
Where does the third brain live exactly?
Junie sets his parents' framed photo right side up. As he turns away, its stand rises and flips over. A walnut-sized brain sits on the other side.
Search the place. It wasn't at the house, so it must be here.
You were at our house?
Junie looks through the porthole. Outside, Thumb Thumb sink the pod.
Oh, no.
Ms. Gradenko spots the plasticky brain.
That's what Floop wants?
Ms. Gradenko lifts the brain in her gloved hand.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Carmen! She's working for Floop.
Carmen runs to Junie.
Fly this to Floop's castle immediately.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't move!
The kids point whirling gadgets at Ms. Gradenko and her thugs.
You don't even know what those things are.
I know they're heavy.
Carmen throws it.
That equipment costs millions of dollars!
A thug wears the brain in a pouch around his neck.
That brain's the only thing keeping Mom and Dad from being zapped!
She chases the thug. Carmen leaps over a ceiling fan. A thug jumps up to grab her and the fan whaps his fingers. The thug with the brain fires up a jetpack and flies out through a tunnel.
Send in the thumbs.
Carmen straps on a jetpack, then dodges a thug.
Wait for me!
Thumb Thumbs break in. Carmen flies backwards into the tunnel.
How do you work this thing?
Bring her back!
Thumb Thumbs grab jetpacks and chase Carmen. Junie loads his backpack.
Don't you want to see your parents, you little brat?
She hits her head.
Sorry.
Junie hits a thug with a metal box.
Get this!
The box breaks away from the handcuff. Junie grabs for the last jetpack. It fires up and darts around the room. Everyone ducks.
What's wrong with you? Just children.
The jetpack knocks Ms. Verdenko over. It sets her hair on fire.
That hair day.
Thugs hose down Ms. Verdenko's hair as Junie runs into the tunnel. Now, deep in the tunnel, Thumb Thumbs fly after Karma. She hovers in an opening where two tunnels meet. Two Thumb Thumbs race at her from opposite directions. She sees a tunnel leading up to a skylight.
Uh-oh, going up!
She flies straight up. The Thumb Thumbs crash. Karma bursts through the skylight. In the distance, the thug with the brain flies toward the mainland. Karma follows. Thumb Thumbs chase her. In the tunnel, Junie comes to a dead end. In the air, Carmen talks into her watch.
What?
Where did you go?
I'm right behind her. Where are you?
I'm toast.
Carmen yanks off the thug's pouch.
Give me back that brain!
He grabs her.
Get away from me! Tough guy, huh? See ya!
The thug crashes through a billboard. Carmen teeters on top as Thumb Thumbs crash through.
Whoa!
The billboard falls over. Carmen takes off, Thumb Thumbs on her tail. In the tunnel.
Oh, my sister!
Carmen flies in and scoops up Junie.
Oh, brother.
They fly to the mainland.
Uh-oh. I can't hold on much longer! Get a grip, you big baby!
I'm slipping!
Hang on, Butterfinger!
I'm not gonna make it!
Junie falls. He plummets between tall buildings. Carmen flies straight down and grabs him.
What would you do without me?
Carrying Junie, Carmen flies into a department store. She drops him in the Niños section with boys' clothing. Thumb Thumbs fly in. One crashes into the front door. A clothes rack zooms past. The Thumb Thumbs chase it outside into traffic. An SUV plows into the rack. There's no one on the rack. The fiery jetpack spins and burns out. The Thumb Thumbs fly away. In the store, Carmen wears new duds. Embroidered flowers trim the cuffs of her black pants and the edges of her long black jacket worn over a bright pink sweater. Junie wears a spiffy black suit over a striped vest with a matching bow tie. Together, they stride out of the store, put on their sunglasses, then board a trolley. They cozy up to a smiling couple. The trolley drives away as Thumb Thumbs run past. Now in the virtual room, Fooglies drift around Floop.
It's a cruel, cruel world, all you little boys and girls, and some mean, nasty people want to have you for their supper. But if you follow me, you can all be free, free. You can all be free as a bird on a big TV. If you dream, if you dream, if you dream, my dream.
Full of nasty boys and girls, full of selfish, mean, nasty people. Nasty, 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 nasty.
But there's a way you can make your day. You can laugh, you can smile, you can come and stay a while.
In an orange sky, Thumb Thumbs dance on enormous eyeballs as they spin around Floop like a merry-go-round. The Fooglies and Thumb Thumbs slow down, then stop. Scowling, Floop flings out his arms.
Cat!
The orange sky disappears. Fooglies dangle from bungee cords as Floop rides a platform down to the floor.
Lock him up!
Floop whacks a Foogly, then enters a control room.
Does it need, Minion?
I don't...
My soul! It needs something. The thing that will take it to number one. Oh, I can feel it.
but I can't think straight enough to figure it out.
Floop, you're spending too much time on this program when you should be more concerned with our grand diabolical plan.
Syndication?
The army of robot children.
This hardware is getting in the way of my creative abilities.
Floop glares at Minion.
You lost the children.
Not only did they escape, they took the third brain with them.
It exists?
Completely. Cortez lied to us.
Send our best thumbs.
Sir, if you want to catch a criminal, you send a criminal. If you want to snare a spy, you send
a spy. Please speak English, Minion. I've been baking under those studio lights.
If you want to find a child, you send a child.
Minion points to robot kids who look like Carmen and Junie.
That is brilliant, Minion.
Thank you, sir.
Now a title appears over an aerial view of a large city, San Diablo. We zoom down onto a playground. Kids sit on swings, play chess, glide along a zip line, and climb on a jungle gym. More kids push a spinning merry-go-round, then jump on it and ride it. Carmen and Junie sit on a low wall nearby. While Junie plays with his action figures, Carmen presses buttons on Felix's locating device.
Some locating device? I can't even figure out where the coordinates point to. Who makes this?
A label.
Machete products.
Carmen frowns thoughtfully as she reaches into a pocket and pulls out the wedding photo of her father and his best man. On the back, handwriting reads, Machete and Ombre. Junie turns the plastic third brain around in his bandaged fingers. Clenching his teeth, he lifts the brain up high to throw it. Carmen grabs his arm.
What are you doing? That's our bargaining chip on getting Mom and Dad back.
This is what Floop wants. I think Mom and Dad will want this destroyed.
How do you know what they want? Until this morning, you didn't even know who they were.
We keep the brain. For now.
He grabs her wrist.
Why are you still wearing that? That could be a tracer.
They could be tracking us. Don't start pointing fingers at me. I didn't do anything stupid, stupid.
You better stop calling me names.
Or what?
Or I'm gonna call you names.
Carmen takes off the OSS bracelet. Lights flash on the band.
The booger was right. I hate that.
She throws it away, then drinks from a fountain. The Junie robot walks over to her with stiff steps. He wears a gray sweatsuit and dog tag.
Thought I ditched you.
Why are you dressed like a geek?
We're no longer relatives. Go away. You're just getting stupider by the minute.
Get away from me.
Carmen spots the real Junie.
Women!
The Carmen look-alike lifts him up. The Junie robot twists Carmen's arm.
Oh, I was supposed to do this.
She punches the robot.
Oh. Tough guy, huh?
She punches again. The robot grabs her hand.
Junie!
Put me
down! Destroy the brain! Destroy it!
Carmen's look-alike throws Junie onto the merry-go-round. Her eyes glowing, the robot shoves the merry-go-round into a super spin. Nearby, Carmen headbutts the Junie robot. She holds her head as the robot walks away. With a dazed look, Carmen falls down. Now her look-alike hops onto the merry-go-round. Junie bangs the brain against the metal floor. He tries to bite it. As the Carmen robot grabs the brain, Junie pulls off her dog tag. The robot jumps off, leaving Junie still spinning. The real Carmen stands clutching her forehead. She watches as the two robots put on sunglasses, raise one fist, then fly up into the sky like rockets. Smoke streams from their shoes as they disappear. A boy points up. Subtitles appear. I want shoes like that. Junie wobbles as he runs over to Carmen, who stares at the sky.
They took the brain?
Yeah. I took her necklace. She didn't even notice.
They weren't very smart. Yours could even speak. Limited edition spy kit. One of 500. Floops can have hundreds of these things flying around.
The third brain makes them smart. They're building an army.
Gotta save Mom and Dad.
Only they can stop the robots.
But who's gonna help us?
Now in the castle, chains bind Ingrid and Gregorio.
We had it working. A synthetic intelligence as smart as any spy.
A flashback to a laboratory.
Just go ahead and tighten that brain up.
Wearing a lab coat, Gregorio probes a tiny brain.
Their brain system.
The OSS director realized it was too dangerous if the wrong forces found the technology. We were ordered to destroy it.
Scientists bash equipment with hammers. Gregorio lifts his hammer.
Why keep that a secret from me? To protect us from something you destroyed? Or something you didn't?
In the flashback, Gregorio slips the brain into his lab coat pocket. He smashes a walnut.
All these secrets from me, from the children. It has to stop.
I'm sorry. He wants the brain. If we save our children, we risk the world. So what in the world do we do?
Now the kids get out of a cab.
Thanks for taking us this far, but this is all we got.
Carmen hands the driver all the emergency money. He speeds off.
What are we doing here? Dad's code name must be Hombre. So, this must be Machete.
We're getting help from Dad's best man.
They look at the wedding photo, then enter a store called Machete's Spy Shop. Gregorio's best man sits at a table covered with gadgets. He gently touches a drill to his finger.
What are you working on?
World's smallest camera.
Machete turns his finger.
I don't see it.
But it sees you.
Junie's face appears on a monitor.
You saw counterintelligence stuff here?
Come back with your parents.
We can't. We need something fast that can get us here.
She holds up the locating device. There's a map on it.
Who are you?
Carmen Elizabeth Juanita Ecoscay Brava Cortez.
A door slides open.
Gregorio Cortez is our father.
You were at his wedding.
Machete glares at them.
You will turn around. You will leave my shop because I never want to hear my brother's name mentioned again.
You're our uncle?
A real uncle? Because we already got a fake uncle.
Gregorio Cortez is my younger brother.
At the castle, Floop slouches in a chair. He makes clay faces of himself, one sad, one happy. Minion reads dog tags on a line of robots.
President's daughter, President's son. Oh, good. Prime Minister's son, General's daughter.
They're all here, as planned.
I have to get back to my show now.
You must focus on the task at hand. We have to prepare the army before Mr. Lisp arrives.
I don't believe in this anymore, Minion. I don't think I ever did.
Explain.
The mutated agents, the robot kids, those aren't my ideas, they're yours.
So what?
Well, I think that's why they're not working.
Not yet, they're not.
The Carmen robot hands the brain to Minion.
But you see, I now have the third brain. I don't need you anymore.
Minion takes off his glasses and smooths his hair.
Minion? I assure you, it's Mr. Minion now. And you, Floop, have served your purpose. Children, lock him in the virtual room.
The Carmen and Junie robots drag Floop away at Machete's.
You're a secret agent, aren't you?
What makes you say that?
According to the database, you're always traveling. And no one knows what you do for a living.
I think we all have uncles like that.
Junie reads a label.
Another fine Machete Prime. You make the best spy inventions in the world.
That's correct.
Yeah, but you sell them to both sides, good and bad. That's why Dad hasn't spoken of you in all these years.
Ever sell stuff to Floop?
Junie points to a map of Floop's castle.
Why?
Our mom and dad, your brother, are his prisoners. And if we don't do something to help, something really bad's gonna happen to him.
Now on the roof.
I don't see why you won't help him.
You think I want to babysit my brother the rest of my life? Watch out for Gregorio. Take care of Gregorio. Make sure Gregorio knows right from wrong. Not anymore. Machete's not responsible for nobody but Machete.
But that's not what family is.
We're just brothers. Cain and Abel were brothers. Look how they ended up.
He opens the door to an airplane hangar.
Now, the only thing that'll get you to Floop's castle fast enough...
He drags out an airplane.
Is this.
It's tiny.
It's built for one passenger.
But it's fast.
Will you go?
No.
For your brother?
No!
Then how about for us? Your niece and nephew.
No.
Later at the dinner table, they eat enchiladas.
How about it?
No, 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 a million times no. Pass the pig intestines.
Some of them slop out.
Oh, I'm not eating that now. Nope.
Later, Junie lies down on a cot.
Can I have a...
No!
Glass of water? Thank you for letting us stay here while we ponder our parents' terrible fate.
If you weren't a Cortez, I wouldn't be doing this much.
So family does mean more to you than money?
No.
Dad misses you too.
Machete turns out the light. Later, Carmen snaps a glow stick and shakes it. It gives off a green light.
Ready? Let's go.
Junie pulls out a glow stick, as long as a sword. Now the kids collect gadgets in Machete's workshop.
Now we're talking.
Machete clutches a paper as he sleeps. Junie tiptoes over and reaches for it.
What are you doing? Getting them out to Floop's castle.
Machete grabs Junie's hand.
Shh. It's just a reflex. Look, he's still asleep.
Carmen peels Machete's hand away from her brother's. Junie takes the map. Carmen places a lamp shaped like a hula dancer in Machete's hand. He cuddles up with it.
Never sent an adult to do a kid's job.
Now Carmen opens drawers. She finds a laser knife and flicks it on.
Oh, yeah.
She takes some packets of green gumballs. Later, she tinkers with a locating device.
What can I do to help? Remember that spy plane up on the roof? Yeah.
An instruction manual.
Start reading. Homework.
Morning. Machete wakes up and cocks his head. He pats around for the map, then jumps out of bed.
No!
On the roof.
Hurry up! He's running!
The kids drive the spy plane out of the hangar.
Goodbye, Uncle Machete! Thanks for the plane!
Machete watches the plane blast off. As it disappears into the sky, Machete grins and waves. At Floop's castle, a long row of tiny brains rides on an assembly line as Minion watches closely. Now the spy plane soars over canyons.
Okay, so here's the new plan. We get to the castle, rescue Mom and Dad, then somehow stop Floop from using the brain on the robots before they're sent out to dominate the world. Think we can do that?
How hard could it be?
Lights flash on the instrument panel. Caution. Warning.
I didn't do anything!
Okay, airspeed, fine. Altitude, fine. Autopilot, failing. Oh, great, another fine machete product. Take control. We have to go to manual. Now!
She flips a switch.
You were supposed to read all the instructions!
The plane wobbles.
You skipped a chapter, meathead!
You better stop calling me names!
Pull up, booger friend!
Stop it, or I'll call you names!
Go ahead, you got nothing on me, warthog!
Diaper lady. Aha, hope you weren't one now.
How long have you known?
Since forever. Mom made me swear not to mention it. So now we're even.
Carmen shoves him into the controls. A rocky ridge knocks off a wing. The plane spins.
We're gonna crash if we don't do something!
Another ridge knocks off the other wing.
You did this on purpose, you kamikaze!
Landing gear!
The tires fall off.
No landing gear! We're gonna crash!
The castle's up ahead.
Nope, we're gonna drop. Get your regulator ready.
Carmen pulls the drop button. The kids bail out as the plane crashes into the island. The kids hit water and sink. Breathing through air hoses connected to oxygen tanks, the kids fit divers' masks over their faces.
Comm systems check. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Let's try that cave over there.
The kids swim into a cave where stalactites hang down like icicles.
The water's warmer in here. Oh, I just peed. Ugh, sorry.
They swim toward a door. Now in the castle, hundreds of Spy Kid robots ride on a moving belt. Mechanical pincers insert a brain into their heads, one by one. In the dungeon, Carmen and Junie surface in a pool of water. Ahead, a Thumb-Thumb patrols a tunnel lit by torches.
A Thumb-Thumb. A real life?
Carmen clamps her hand over Junie's mouth. The Thumb-Thumb plods toward them. The pool is empty. The Thumb-Thumb swivels its thummy face from side to side. Hiding in an alcove, Carmen chews a gumball. She spits it at the Thumb-Thumb. A blue electric shock zaps the Thumb-Thumb.
What did you do to me?
Machete's electroshock gumballs. Says long-lasting, but I don't trust wrappers.
The kids take off their underwater gear and snap on utility belts. Junie laces up his high-top sneakers. Now they run down a hallway. Junie stops to paste a tiny machete camera on a wall. As Junie follows Carmen down the twisty hallway, he pastes two more cameras on the walls. He pastes another camera where two hallways meet.
What are you doing? World's smallest cameras. I just placed them all over the main hallways.
He holds a pocket-sized monitor.
Sweet.
Thanks. Thumb-Thumbs. And Fooglies. Coming up the south hall.
Junie gazes at the monitor, then looks around.
Got an idea? Yeah.
Now a pair of Thumb-Thumbs herd four Fooglies bound in chains down a hallway. A cable lowers Junie in front of the taffy-faced Fugly. Junie looks at him through computerized sunglasses. A picture of a missing agent appears.
Agent Donnegan?
The Fugly nods.
Where's my mom and dad?
Junie aims his spy watch at the Fugly. Its tiny satellite dish rotates.
Thanks.
The cable pulls Junie up into a skylight.
I got it. What'd he say?
I'll play it backwards.
They're in the dungeon. They're in the dungeon. Hurry.
See if they know where the brain room is.
The cable lowers Junie right into the middle of a group of Thumb-Thumbs. The cable yanks him back up.
Thumb-Thumbs everywhere.
Let's see if they like bubbles.
Carmen dips a wand into a bottle of bubble stuff and blows a huge electrified bubble. It floats down and explodes. The Thumb-Thumbs fall down. Cables lower Junie and Carmen.
We'll be back for you, fellow agents.
Junie waves. Now robot kids march down a hall.
All robots, please report to docking bays 4, 5, and 6 for immediate loading.
This is the ventilator shaft. Here.
Yeah, but the dungeon's on the other side of the castle. How do we get there undetected?
Junie and Carmen study the map of Floop's castle, then fall in line behind the robots who wear gray sweatsuits and dog tags. Their eyes glow as they turn and glare at the kids. Carmen and Junie run. The robots chase them. The floor breaks apart and a pit separates the two kids.
Can you make it?
I think so.
She leaps.
Come on.
She falls into the pit.
Carmen! My mom is dead!
The robots march after Junie. He runs through a chamber full of steel beams, then down a hallway. A sign shaped like a hand points to the virtual room.
I hope this leads to a dungeon.
Junie opens the door and steps inside. Above him, a giant Floop face floats among orange clouds.
You there. What's that on your hands?
Behind Junie, the room spirals like water running down a drain.
Warts, aren't they?
Oh, great.
From sweaty hands sprout warts. Do you know why you have sweaty hands?
From being scared all the time.
The giant Floop leans closer to Junie.
You don't look very scared to me.
That's because I'm mad. You kidnapped my parents, made sick of robot children, and swallowed up my sister.
But I didn't want any of that.
I thought Floop was a genius.
You did?
Junie pulls out his Floop action figure.
You watch my show.
More than you know.
Now in a lab, chains bind Ingrid and Gregorio to a machine.
Alexander Minion.
Agent Cortez. Wonderful to see you again.
You know him?
Yeah. He was on the Third Brain project. Until I noticed he was trying to inject his own ideas into the system. I turned him in. He was thrown out of the OSS.
I'm afraid I'm not nearly the artist Floop is. But not to worry. I have something else in mind.
Minion unfolds Junie's drawing of a Fugly.
What do you think you're going to accomplish by doing this?
Well, you see, Mrs. Cortez, I have always been methodical, goal-oriented, psychotically so.
I'm not afraid of you, Alex.
So I think it's refreshing to every once in a while have some fun. Oh, and don't worry about your little brats. They'll still be able to see you every weekday morning between 7:30 and 8.
Minion presses a button. As the machine scans the drawing, glowing electroshock waves pulse down Gregorio's body. Now Carmen falls into a heap of thumbs in a factory. Headless thumbs ride an assembly line. As each one passes, a giant mechanical hand shoves a thumb down onto the neck. A thumb nurse with painted nails repairs a broken thumb. Now Minion sits at an instrument panel. A monitor shows Mr. Lisp inside a helicopter.
I trust this time Floop will have a success to show us.
The fabulous Floop is away on other business, sir. Your army is complete. The ultimate destructive force is now within your grasp.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Lisp signs off. Now a slender hand touches Minion's shoulder.
Welcome back, Miss Credenko.
Her head has bald spots.
It's good to be back, Alex. Let's never have children.
In the virtual room.
So Minion is the evil one.
Yes, but I will be blamed. You have every reason to be disappointed in me.
So what would you do if you could shut this thing off and get out of here?
It's impossible. It can only be turned off from the outside.
Junie chews a gumball.
Just suppose.
I'd stop Minion. I'd stop the robot army and hope that the world would forgive me.
Junie gags out a glowing ball.
You're my hero, Floop. So I'm going to help you, then you're going to help me. Minion must be stopped.
Just one thing. My show. What does it need? I know it needs something desperately, but I can't figure it out. Maybe you can.
It needs children. Hold still.
Junie throws the glowing ball at the giant Floop's head. It zaps him. The huge sky disappears. Floop shrinks to his regular size.
Now let's stop Minion.
They run out of the virtual room.
Must be stopped. Must be stopped.
A thumb appears in the hall. Junie tackles it.
This one's for my sister!
Junie rips off its thummy head.
Junie.
It's Carmen.
Hola.
Now in the dungeon, Ingrid paces behind bars.
Carmen? Junie?
Mom!
A Fugly reaches out.
That's my Fugly! The one I drew.
Taking its hand, Junie gazes at the Fugly's flat cartoon face.
It's dead.
Carmen runs to her mother.
You're here!
Ingrid sees Floop.
What are you doing? He's okay.
Floop unlocks jail cells.
You get here.
Carmen draws on the bars with an acid crayon.
Mom, I've been skipping school, going places, taking ferry rides in the city.
The acid burns through the bars. Carmen pulls off a section of the jail cell door.
It's okay. I know. We'll talk about it when we get home.
Running off to Belize.
What? You went where?
You're right. Let's just talk about this when we get home.
No. You can tell me everything now, okay? Is that where you want to be? Free from your family?
Hey!
Junie runs into his mother's arms.
Used to. Not anymore.
Ingrid kisses Carmen. Junie turns to Floop.
You turned my dad into a Fugly?
No, I didn't. But I might be able to change him back.
Now helicopters land at the castle. In the grand room, Minion squirms uncomfortably on a chair shaped like a giant hand. Ms. Gradenko enters with Mr. Lisp and his men.
Jen,
gentlemen, your army marches to meet us as we speak. Your faith and your patience have meant more than you know. I speak for Mr. Floop when I say that the value we place on partnership is...
Minion, this is Floop. Please report to the robotics lab at once. We have huge, major, big-time problems with the robots.
I thought you said Floop wasn't here.
He's not.
A problem, Mr. Minion, as in mucho grande problemo.
I'm gonna... just be a moment.
Minion hurries into the robotics lab. It's empty.
Minion! Floop! Where are you?
Behind you.
Minion wheels around. It's Junie mimicking.
What do you think you're doing? You're supposed to be in line with the others. You're supposed to be in line with the others. Stop that. Stop that! Stop that this instant! Stop that this instant! Stop that! Right now!
Or what? Behind Minion, Gregorio peels off his mustache.
Clever boy you've got there, Cortez. Very clever indeed.
He gets that from his mother.
Ingrid appears.
Can I offer some sort of truce in exchange for your daughter?
Carmen appears.
Spoken for.
There you are. Didn't see you. Didn't see you.
Gregorio grabs Minion.
I am going to show you what happens when you cross the line and involve family.
Now let's get nice and comfortable.
They chain Minion to the Fugly machine. Gregorio molds a clay Fugly face.
Promising. Thank you.
Gregorio places the start button in Minion's hand.
Possibly. No, but you can.
He holds it down.
Don't let go. Ingrid?
Hey, you two, come on.
The Cortezes leave Minion alone in the lab. Smiling, he takes his thumb off the button.
Fools.
Waves of electricity surge through his body. He breaks out of his chains. In the hall.
Come on. We have to keep the army from leaving the castle. Our only chance is to get to the control room and hope that their missions have not been programmed.
And what if they have?
Then there's no one on Earth who can stop them. One at a time. Go. Go.
The kids take off with Floop. Their robot lookalikes grab Ingrid and Gregorio. Floop.
Left. That way. Where's Mom and Dad?
In the control room, Floop turns on a monitor.
Your doppelgangers have them.
Can you shut them down from here?
It's too late. The third brain is linked not only to them, but to all the robot children.
Can't you remove it?
We can't just take 500 brains out.
So don't. Just reprogram it.
That would take weeks.
Just two words.
A binary switch, of course. So they would define right as wrong.
And wrong is right. Come on.
But it's not that simple.
Figure it out. We'll be back for you.
Teach them to be good.
Floop pushes buttons. Now in the grand room.
Have a seat, Mr. Lisp. You'll be more comfortable.
It's Lisp.
He sits down.
My army, Miss Gridenko, is the only comfort I need.
A Fugly appears.
They're on their way now, sir.
It has four faces.
Minion? What happened to your head?
Oh, don't worry. I think it's reversible.
In the hall, chains bind Ingrid and Gregorio back to back. A platform lifts Ingrid and Gregorio up through a skylight. Below, the Carmen and Junie robots head for the real kids.
Careful. They're stronger and smarter now.
So are we.
Carmen takes a few slow steps toward the robots, then stamps her foot.
Ah!
The robots turn and run.
See?
They somersault off the walls. They raise their fists.
Shit. Talking mushrooms.
The robot's eyes glow. Carmen and Judy face off with their lookalikes. The Carmen robot lifts Junie into the air. The real Carmen shoots a cable up to the skylight. It lifts the Junie robot off the floor. Below, the Carmen lookalike spins Junie over her head. Elsewhere, the chains around Ingrid and Gregorio unlock. They leap off the platform and land in the grand room.
Lisp, should have known you were behind this.
I take it you are Minion. Miss Gradenko, I think.
Oh, it's me, all right. I owe my new look to your children.
Remind me to raise their allowance.
Minion, I think now would be a good time to see a demonstration of those wonderfully demonic children of yours.
Certainly.
In the hall, the Carmen robot throws Junie. As she turns to face the real Carmen, the Junie lookalike jumps down from the skylight. Junie runs up and pushes the Carmen robot. Junie falls over. While the other robot holds Carmen back, her lookalike circles Junie.
Your parents were so easy to capture. And you're not any better. Poor little Junie. Defenseless and weak.
She punches through a wall. The chunks of concrete land near Junie.
You're a worthless little squirt.
Junie! Don't listen to her! You're not worthless! You figured out how to get us here. You helped Fluke realize he was good, not bad. You talked to the Fugleys and saved Mom and Dad. You're strong, Junie! You're strong!
Junie punches the wall.
You're not that strong, Junie!
The robot lifts Junie.
Puny Junie. It's all over.
Junie smiles. She frowns. He spits a gumball onto her nose. Blue electroshocks zap her body. She drops Junie and peels off the gumball. The kids push the robots up against a wall.
Insect cement.
The kids squirt stringy pink cement at the robots, sticking them to the wall.
That should hold them.
The robots pull free.
Let's go find Mom and Dad.
Good idea.
The kids run.
All robots report to the Grand Room for a final demonstration of your destructive powers.
Now in the Grand Room.
Mom! Dad!
Junie!
Carmen, Junie, close your eyes. We don't want you to see this, okay?
The kids open their eyes. Four thugs lie knocked out. Ingrid and Gregorio smile. Hundreds of robot kids march toward the Grand Room. All the Cortezes raise their fists.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Lisp smiles.
No, Junie.
Okay, you have to pay. I'm falling now. Yes, I'm falling now. I think I got it.
Tell us.
Family, here's what we do. I'll take the handle on the right. Ingrid, you take the handle on the left. Carmen, handle center left. Junie, center right. It'll work.
It's 500 total, Dad. One more person.
Machete crashes through a window. Standing with the family, he grins and raises his fists.
Isidore. Hello, little brother.
Behind them is Gridenko, Minion, and Mr. Lisp, Gabe.
Children!
The robots face Mr. Lisp.
Tear him limb from limb.
Now in the control room.
How? Keep them shaped by environment, man.
Fluke pushes buttons. In the Grand Room, the Cortezes huddle together. The robots rush past. They throw Ms. Gridenko, Minion, and Mr. Lisp up into the air.
Minion! Tell them to put me down!
They'll find the barrel, Bowser. Anything we tell them goes in one ear and out the other.
Gregorio turns to his brother.
Why did you come back?
For the same reason I left.
You know what? I don't remember that reason.
Neither do I.
Machete starts to cry.
It's okay. Let it go. He's fine. He's gonna be fine. It's emotional. Latinos. Okay. That's it.
Junie walks over to Floop.
So, what did you teach them?
It's not what I could teach the children, but what you taught me. You won today, Junie. And not because you were the biggest or the strongest, but because you were pure of heart and of mind. And now the robots have learned that as well. Thank you.
We went on the old-fashioned adventure I always wanted. And we didn't do one thing right.
Nope. We did two things right.
He looks at Carmen and Juni.
There is something that we have to tell you.
Your father and I, we're secret agents.
We have something to tell you. We are secret agents, too.
Juni winks. Gregorio smiles. Standing in a circle, they all stack their hands one on top of the other. Now at the hacienda, a TV plays in the kitchen as Juni peels band-aids off his fingers. The warts are gone.
Today, all in different countries of yet another group of children who've done some incredible good deeds. It seems that a day doesn't go by that another amazing child performs some outstanding act of charity or community service. Who are these children and why are they so good at being good?
On TV, a robot saves a firefighter. In the kitchen, Machete reads the paper.
I have the business section.
So you close down your shop?
Yeah, but I gotta keep tabs on Free Enterprise.
Boys, can we please stop fighting?
Ingrid and Gregorio kiss as Floop's TV show starts.
It's time for Floop's Foodly!
The minion Foodly tumbles past Floop.
Good morning, my children. Today, I'd like to introduce you to two new characters in our show. Carmenita and Junito.
Robots. Now a message breaks into the broadcast.
Ah, Cortez's. An emergency assignment has come up in the Far East. I need you on it right away.
Oh, sorry, Devlin. We haven't talked about this as a family yet, so...
Whether we come out of retirement or not, there's a decision that is up to us. And our kids.
Gregorio, Ingrid, I wasn't talking to you.
Me?
No, this assignment is for Carmen and Juni. They're the ones we need. They're the two most amazing field agents that this organization's ever seen. So what do you say, kids? Are you up for it?
Devlin, if you want the Cortezes, you take all the Cortezes. Even Mom and Dad.
From now on, whatever we do together. Spy work? That's easy. Keeping a family together? That's difficult. And that's the mission worth fighting for.
Carmen turns off the TV.